It's always a joy to come together as one body of Christ, just loving Him and also to worship Him. Dear church, wherever you are, we want to welcome you. At the same time, thank you for being part of this Pentecost Sunday. For those who are visiting us, you know, or visit us to this platform, you know, we just want to invite you. We pray that you will visit our website to know about who we are, our vision and our mission. A church that you can also belong to. Let's pray and ask God as we look at Scripture and to draw strength on this Pentecost Sunday. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship, God. We thank you that we are here as one body because we love you. And we know, Lord, that you love us. We pray as we look at your Scripture, God, we want to experience you in a very special way. Open our hearts, O God. Open our eyes. Help us, O Lord, to be receptive. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the prompting of your voice. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray. Amen. When the great evangelist Gypsy Smith was asked to name the greatest needs of today's church, he answered, another Pentecost. Then he was asked the second time, what is the greatest need of the church? He answered, another Pentecost. And then the third time he was asked the same question, what is the third greatest need of the church? And the evangelist Smith answered, another Pentecost. Dear friends, as all of us are aware, today is Pentecost Sunday. This day in the Christian calendar is rooted in the story of Acts chapter 2, the day the Spirit of God descended on the apostles who were in the upper room for almost 10 days. They were hiding in fear because what happened to Jesus would happen to them. Without Jesus, they were aimless and confused. Because of Pentecost, because of the coming of the Holy Spirit, it was a turning point in their life. All have changed because of the Holy Spirit. The same Peter who denied Jesus was able to stand before the crowd and to boldly declare the good news of Jesus Christ. And the same Peter was asleep in the prison, but now he knows that he can be asleep in confidence, knowing that God is sovereign. When Paul writes in Acts chapter 16, you realize Paul and Silas are singing psalms, hymns to God, even though they were in a difficult confinement. You know how they called the early Christians? People who turned the world upside down, because there was zeal because of Pentecost. There was excitement, there was passion, there was love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul the Apostle was able to write to the church in Philippi, and he writes by saying, rejoice always. Can you imagine writing from the prison? He's saying, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. What a joy to know that the Spirit of God was not limited to the early church. Even today, you and I can experience the power of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, the presence and the guidance of the Spirit in our lives. God has changed everything. The disciples were living a new normal altogether. It was not their old life, their normal life of predictability and routine. They were living out God's purposes. That was their new normal, through the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Today, because of our belief, because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives are not normal. We live a new normal life because we have the Spirit of God in us. Like the Apostle Paul, we can echo the same words of Paul, who said, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me, the life that I now live, he says, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's look at the passage that was just read to us and draw strength from God's word, because God's word is so powerful. God's word is so enlightening. It challenges us, it motivates us. At the same note, it brings comforts to our hearts and minds, my friend. John chapter 14, if you look at the passage, realize, you know, Jesus was giving his final discourse with the disciples. The disciples were very apprehensive when they heard that Jesus was going away. And so in chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He said, "But believe in God." Because they were troubled. They were troubled knowing that Jesus is going away. Can you imagine? They left their families to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave up everything. And now Jesus says, "I'm going away." It has never crossed their mind that this master will leave them away. When you read the passage, you see there was a lot of sorrow. There was a lot of apprehension. There was a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of fear in them. And I believe Jesus saw the intense sorrow they had in their hearts. Today, my friend, you know, each and every one of us will have some kind of sorrow whenever we face challenges in our life. We will be overwhelmed with pain and grief. Or maybe we are experiencing a personal loss, loss of a dear friend or a loved one, maybe a loss of position. The Word of God reminds us, particularly when you look at the passage today, that God says in verse 18, the Lord says in verse, "I will not leave you as orphans." It was not Christ's purpose to leave them comfortless or as orphans. But if you look at the passage, he says that he's giving them a promise. He did not leave them without a promise. He did not leave them without a revelation. What is a promise? What is the revelation? From the passage, you know, we want to see what is the promise that Jesus is giving that is comforting the disciples. What is the new revelation that he is teaching them or bringing them into? That they can live a life knowing that he is with them at every moment of their life. Today, when we look at the passage, we are going to ask a couple of questions. You know, who is coming? What is the purpose of his coming? And what is the presence, the promise of his presence? Firstly, let's look at the passage, you know, and you see the person who is coming. Who is coming? In verse 16, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Jesus says, "I'm going to ask the Father to give you another helper." He uses the word "another helper." Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is another helper. Is another helper of the same kind, not of a different kind. The Holy Spirit represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying, you know, "I was with you in this world. Even when I leave you, I'm going to be with you." Right? And the Holy Spirit is going to come and take residence in your life. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. When you look at the word, Greek word, you know, very interesting word. The word here is parakletos. Right? In other words, it says, "I'm going to send you a comforter or an advocate." It means one who's called to one side or to one's aid, to come alongside with us. So the Holy Spirit was sent to be alongside with the disciples. At every moment, they will know that the Spirit of God is with them. What a comforting word by the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, when you look at the same word again, you know, it has a legal sense also. A paraclete was someone who was a defense counsel, was there to advocate for you, to intercede for you. And the Word of God reminds us again and again that the Spirit of God intercedes for us. Even now, he's interceding for us, for our needs, for the things that we are facing. When you look at the same word again, there is a forensic overtone in this particular word, right? If you particularly in John chapter 16, you see the idea is the idea of strengthening and encouragement. He's not just going to defend, but he's going to, you know, strengthen us, encourage us in our life, because the Lord is aware of the challenges that we face in this uncertain world. Because of the presence of Christ in their life, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in their life, there was a new normal in the life of the disciples. You will read excitement, you will see boldness, you will see encouragement, you will see zeal, joy. And that was the way they were living in this world. You know, many times we will say, is the Holy Spirit different from the Lord Jesus Christ? If you look at the passage very carefully, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, right? The Holy Spirit is also called the Lord's Spirit. In other words, the Lord's Spirit is considered a compound like Father God and the Lord Christ. In Philippians 1:19, right? The Apostle Paul speaks about it. He says, "For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ," the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus is dwelling in our lives. The Spirit of God is a divine person who works in conjunction with God and Christ. Today, in many Christian circles, the Holy Spirit is either neglected, not forgotten, or even misunderstood. Many are of the opinion saying that, you know, the Holy Spirit belongs to the charismatic movement. It belongs to a particular denomination. He belongs to each and every one of us. That's what the Word of God reminds us, my friend. A.W. Tozer, when he is in his 365-day devotional, talks about how the local believer or the ordinary believer perceives the Holy Spirit. And he says, the idea of the Spirit held by an average member is so vague as to nearly non-existent. We don't want to be like the believers in Ephesus when Paul writes in Acts chapter 19, verse 2, when he asked them the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And to his surprise, they answered, no, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. Dear friends, the Spirit of God wants to take residence in our life. He wants to come along with us, to journey with us, so that you and I can live a life knowing that we are not alone, that Christ journeys with us through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, let's look at the passage and to see what is the purpose of His coming. Why the Spirit of God was sent to us. In verse 17, if you read John chapter 14, verse 17, it says, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. For He lives with you and will be in you. What a joy. What a joy to read this passage, to know that He comes to live inside me, inside us, and to dwell in us. The Spirit of God will do everything that Jesus did for the disciples while He was with them. Firstly, when you look at the passage in verse 17, you see the word in us, in you. Jesus is saying that He's going to be inside you. In other words, we literally possess the Spirit of God in us. He's in us, just reminding us that God loves us, that His peace is upon us, that there is no more fear, and no one can separate us from the love of Christ. Paul writes about the Holy Spirit. He writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine? The Spirit of God is living inside us, my friend. He dwells inside our spirit. Andrew Murray, in his writing, beautifully puts it. He says, so inside you and inside me is the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is in you. When the Spirit of God is in us, it's a new norm altogether. It's a new way of looking at life from God's lenses. A transformation takes place. We begin to produce God's character, the image of God is revealed in us and through us. As Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, you know, we see the Spirit of God building our lives with faith, with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and even self-control. What a joy to know that I have and you have the Spirit of God in us. And He's living right inside us, my friend. In verse 17, He says, He is the instructing Spirit. In other words, He's there to not only dwell in our lives, but to guide us, to speak to us, to instruct us. He says, the Spirit of truth, right, is inside us. In John chapter 15, verse 26, you know, Jesus is saying, I will send you this advocate, the Spirit of truth again. He will come to you from the Father and will testify about me. In John chapter 16, verse 13, He speaks about it again. He says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you. Jesus is promising the disciples in John chapter 16, verse 13, that the Spirit of God will guide them. Very interesting word in the Greek word, the word guide. It means you're assisting someone to a desired destination. You're leading them, not blindly, but to a desired destination. You are just guiding them through by giving them knowledge, by comforting them, and being with them. And the Spirit of God is there to teach us. To teach us about Jesus Christ, about His love for us. And that's why Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. In verse 26, we also read, right, He says, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. You know, He brings to remembrance whatever God has taught us, that we will know, that we will know where the Spirit of God wants us to lead us and to guide us, my friend. Today, all of us, all in life, we are always in search of truth. So often people are looking at wrong ways or wrong places to find real meaning to life, to search for love, to search for comfort, for guidance. But Jesus is the truth. He wanted to teach us the truth. He wants to bring new meanings in our life, my friend. As the Spirit of God taught, guided, and challenged many Christian communities, He wants to guide us even today. When we come to Him seeking Him with great humility and a desire to learn. Today, you and I can sense the Spirit of God, right, when we are alone. Perhaps in our prayer, He's there just listening to us, just speaking to us. In our study of the Scriptures, as we engage in the Scriptures, He enlightens our hearts. As we reflect on a difficult decision, He's there to prompt us and to bring to us the things that God wants us to be found doing. The Spirit of God is intentionally personal. I think we need to ask this question. How do you see the Holy Spirit at work in your life today? How do you see the Spirit of God working in your life today? Is He there? Lastly, you know, let's ask the question, how long is He going to be with us? How long? We want to know that answer, right? In verse 16, Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, to be with you forever. It was not Christ's purpose to leave them orphans or comfortless, my friend. He did not leave them without a promise. He promised them that He and the Spirit of God will be inside them, just living through them. And in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, I think all of us are very familiar with that particular passage. It says, all authority have been given to me, Jesus said, in heaven and on earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age, I am with you always. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God is in us, with us, instructing us, guiding us always, even to the end of the age. What a joy. What a powerful reminder. Many of you would, you know, when you hear this, you will say, no, I want the Spirit of God. I want the Spirit of God. Do you sincerely desire to be controlled? And you look at the word very carefully. Right? In John chapter 14, Jesus starts by saying, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask my Father. Do we love God? Do we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we see him as our Savior, as our Lord? When we experience Christ in our life, when we invite him, his presence is assured. He will be with us, in us, and also working through us. And that's why Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, said, you know, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are like sheep without this wing, branches without sap, and like coals without fire. We are useless, he says. The late A.W. Tozer also said these wonderful words. And let me say, he says, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, he says, 95 of what we do would go on, and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit have been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everybody would know the difference. Is the Spirit of God in us? He wants to take residence in our life. When we say, Lord, come into my life, Lord, just dwell in my life, he wants to come and to take residence in our life. Let me conclude by sharing a story and also my personal experience. Like many people, today the season calls us to fly kites because it's a wonderful season. During my childhood days, my childhood hobby was to fly kites. It was fun, right? It was adventurous, and it takes a lot of energy and quite a bit of skill too. Now, it is nice to see the kite just flying, going higher and higher. There are moments it becomes invisible to your eyes. You know, to get it started from the ground, it can be very challenging. You need to know, you know, the wind direction and the speed that you are running to get the momentum. It takes a while to take control, and then you realize, you know, it flies beautifully. I came across a story said by Paul Keppel, and Paul Keppel had an experience. He saw a little boy who was flying a kite. It was a windy day, and the kite was just going higher and higher. It was so high that it was out of sight. And so a man passed by this little boy holding on to the string, and the man could not see the kite. And he asked the boy, how do you even know that you have a kite up there? I don't see the kite, but how do you know you have a kite up there? And the boy answered in a very interesting manner. He said, because I can feel it. I can feel the kite. Today, my friend, do we feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit inside us? Do we have the Spirit of God inside us? When the Spirit of God is inside us, you know, he's always nudging us. He's always prompting us. He's always showing us the way to live a new life, a life in step with the Holy Spirit, a life that is full of joy, full of peace beyond understanding, a life knowing that Christ is in control of our lives, my friend. The early apostles and people of faith, if you realize what was happening in the midst of all their difficulties, like they were able to smile at the storm because they know that Jesus is with them and he will guide them through. The Lord wants to come into our lives and he wants to dwell in our lives. But are we willing to say, Lord, come? Lord Jesus, come into my life, O God, and take residence in my life. Lord, I want to live a new normal altogether. I want to live a life in your presence, O God, by your guidance. And I want to be spirit-led. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will continue to work in our lives and continue to lead us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of your love once again. That your love is so wonderful, O God, that you want to dwell in our lives, O God. You want to instruct us. Because we need guidance in this world. We need help, O God. We need you to show us the way. And we thank you because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by you. Help us, Lord, to place our trust in you. Help us, Lord, to invite you into our lives, into our families. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.